Well, it's good to be the speaker this morning. I appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate the trust in me to bring you God's word. As a speaker, that's always the challenge. We got to be found in faith. We got to be found teaching the truth. And it's something you don't take lightly, something you don't deviate from. So I appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate the time and everyone being here, the Lord's Day. To this morning, my thoughts for this lesson are going to come from a song. By country music singer Aaron Tippin, recorded in 1991. It really doesn't matter. I'm just telling you where I got it from. Nothing important there. But the lyrics was always something that always caught me. I always liked these lyrics. I want you to listen to them for a minute. This is a father's talking to his son, telling him some things. And he's singing this song to his son now in the video, but it doesn't matter. But the point being is a father talking to his son. And the lyrics go like this. He'd say, "You got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Excuse me. You got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything." Think about that a minute. Those are good words of life to live by. Now, I want to take something a little farther. That's not a Christian song, not a godly song, I would say, in any respect. It's got some good points. But if we change a few words of that and change something for righteousness, change your own man to Christian. Because, you know, being your own man really isn't always a Christian. We could be wrong. But be a Christian. And then change the last part to Christian, too. Then it'd read something like this. He'd say, "You've got to stand for righteousness or you'll fall for anything. You got to be your Christian, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right. Uphold the Christian name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything." That's kind of the thought we look at today. And that kind of has some more impact to us as Christians. The song, always I've known the song forever, and it's just always clicked with me. So maybe it's coming from a small town and everybody in every business in the town was called Jones and they're all related. My dad said, you gotta be careful what you do in this town. You can't act up, you can't be wrong. We're visible. Not only are we Christians, but our names are all over the place. So this is one of those things we look at. But, you know, as an intro, look at Peter for a second. Now, I'm not going to pick on Peter by any means today. This is not a bash Peter, but Peter had his faults, we know. In Galatians chapter 2:11, it says, "But when Peter has come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If you, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as the Jews do, why compellest thou the Gentiles to do as the Jews?" We have a situation here where Peter had no issues about eating with the Jewish Gentiles. Let's just say that prior to this. But many of the Jewish Christians did. He was aware of this. And he did eat with them. But now the messengers come along, and now he separates himself from the Jewish Gentiles. The Gentile Christians. You know, because of fear, it says. Think about that a minute. Because of fear of these men from Jerusalem, he disassembled. Even Barnabas went with him. His trusted sidekick, if you will. A helpmate, a helper, teacher, pillar in the faith. Even he was drawn away with this. This is the same Peter who trembled when he began to sink in the waves. The same Peter who denied his Lord. He's bold. He's forward. At the same time, he can be timid and had timid and rash, if you will, and had an occasion for deep humility for his wrongs. He saw his wrongs. In the scriptures, we see that. He'll have deep humility. But Peter here is not standing for anything. As the title of the song goes, you got to stand for something. Peter's not doing it. He's not standing true anyway. Peter didn't stand for the truth. He didn't stand where he had always taught. We need to be ready without fear to tell the truth and stand firm in the word as Christians. We got to be ready. And I bring that lesson to us today because just look at the world around us today. And I appreciate David's prayer. He mentioned some of this that we're going to talk about this morning. We look at the world around us today. People are being sued and threatened for a biblical belief. If you don't keep up with current events, it's out there. It's been going on for about 5 years now, really aggressive. For a biblical belief, people are getting prosecuted. Their businesses are getting ravaged. They're getting taken to courts of law, not once, not twice, but sometimes three times, for upholding their faith in their workplace. These are independent owners. We're going to come a day where we're going to be tried and tested in like fashion, more than likely. It could happen. The biblical marriage is already under attack in this country. You can't say it's wrong to marry to have gay marriage in some circles, and definitely in the workplace. Your job may be on the line for these kind of thinkings, these kind of teachings. And before long, it could be they could be on the line just because they know you go to church and that church doesn't believe in it and you haven't said a word about it. Our challenge is out there, folks. There's a scary thing going on. But it, just like Peter, we've got to stand firm. We've got to stand true to God's word. We can't deviate. We can't fear. But, you know, the Bible says fear kept Peter from doing what was right. This type of fear is not from God. It doesn't come from God. It comes from the devil himself. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses, or 2 Timothy chapter 7. Pardon me. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Be of sound mind. Fear rattles our mind. Fear rattles our mind. It shakes us a little bit. We react rashly in fear, don't we? It says, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Fear brings us shame, doesn't it? Apparently so. Fear can cause us to be ashamed, or it's a result of our being ashamed of the gospel. Peter showed this fear and was found not walking in faith. Peter, of all his good qualities, this wasn't one of them in this situation we just read earlier in the scripture. Proverbs 29:25 says this, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. That snare, when you look at the terminology of what and definition of a snare, it's something that snatches quick. You're walking along and boom, it's gone. It's like a net, just sweeps you up. You know, fear can let us get swept away so quickly we don't even realize it. We may fear a man like Peter and we react in a rash, quick way and all of a sudden sin's got us because the fear drove us to a quick, rash response instead of being the voice of calm and reason. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but put your trust in the Lord and we shall be safe. Now I'm paraphrasing that a little bit, but it's the same terminology, same meaning. James 1 and 8 is a scripture we know. It talks about prayer, and I agree it's dealing with prayer, but it's dealing with the mind of man and his condition when he prays. So I think it's applicable to this lesson today. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't be wavering. We can't be on the fence. We can't say, I'm going to take a neutral stance on this. We're going to accept these people. We're going to accept this. We're going to accept this teaching. We're going to teach this law. We're going to accept this law. You can't be all-encompassing. You'll fall. You'll fail. You'll fail scripturally. You probably will fail in this world too. But scripturally is what we're focused on today. We'll fail scripturally if we try to be accepting of everything and everybody and all things and all laws and all ways and all man's devices. The Bible says that's not possible and be a Christian. Albert Barnes in his commentary says on this, he says, a double-minded man, the word is used here, occurs only here in James and in James 4:8. It means properly one who has two souls. Then one who is wavering or inconsistent is applicable to a man who has no settled principles, who is controlled by passion, who is influenced by popular feeling, who is now inclined to one opinion or course of conduct and now to another. Did that not feel like Peter a little bit? Peter is a rash person. We know that. He was always quick to pronounce his faith, but his faith wasn't willing to back it up sometimes. He was inconsistent at times. He was wavering at times. Yes, we can say that. Was he influenced by popular feeling? Well, we just read that scripture about him and the Jews. Yes, he was influenced by man. He had peer pressure. He didn't want to upset the Jews. He wanted to make everybody happy. We're to keep the peace, but we're not to shun from the truth and walk in righteousness always. We look at Jesus, and he's warning Jerusalem here, and he's telling them to be prepared in Luke chapter 21. And I come to this verse, and it says, and he says, Jesus says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with self-fighting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare, there's that word, shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. A lot of good words in there. Indulgence, drunkenness, gluttonous, cares of this life, being unaware, being blinded, living good, living abundantly and fat on the land, if you will. He says, be careful. Be aware. Be ready. This world will snare you up. Judgment can may take you up quickly. Your life may be required of you. You're going to be trapped in sin quick. It's going to gobble you up. He goes, but you need to be counted worthy. You got to be counted worthy to escape these things. He says, watch and pray to be counted worthy. Think about that. Watch and pray. Be watchful. Pray for your strength. Pray like we did today. Pray for wisdom. We pray to God always for all things. And it says that you may stand before the Son of God. That word stand is to present. How can we stand before the Son of God? Well, in righteousness, we present ourselves in righteousness to the Lord. If we don't have righteousness in us and we're not found faithful, it's going to be a hard day for us to stand before the Lord, isn't it? Albert Barnes says this too, also in his commentary. I like his comments on these. He says, be continually expecting these things. That's something we get surprised by sometimes, don't we? We get blindsided by life. Oh, I didn't know somebody would act that way, or I didn't know this would happen. Don't be so shocked. This world's full of evil. This world's full of sin. These aren't what we'd call godly people leading this world, according to the scriptures. It says, be continually expecting these things. Don't forget them. And do not be secure and satisfied with this life and the good things which it furnishes. There's another thing. We get so comfortable. We get so comfortable. We got air conditioning. We didn't have that out in the field, did we? We missed it. We missed lights. We missed a roof. We don't think about the comforts we have. And looking back at the time this was written, they didn't have these things. What were their comforts? We'd call them roughing it for us. Their comforts were even less than what we have today. And it says, don't be comfortable in these things. Watch out. Don't be so secure and satisfied with life and the good things. Do not suffer yourselves to be drawn into the fashions of the world, to be conformed to its customs, to partake in its feasts and revelry, and distractions. Albert Barnes. I couldn't have put it better. That's why I quote Albert Barnes' commentary there. Distractions. You know, we walk through this life and we see all these things and riots and anger and this and that and all the hype and all the social media stuff. Those are distractions, people. Didn't come out of the Bible, did it? The Bible's our map. The Bible's our light. God is Word. If we're in that, those things are just blind. We got blinders on. We're not dumb to what's going on in the world. Don't get me wrong. But we're not letting them bring us down. We're not letting them put fear into us that could quickly trap us in a world of sin or bring us from our faith or shake our faith. That's a bigger thing. How many people's faith are going to be shaken to the point where they don't come back to the faith or they crawl into a hole and they hide their faith? They quit worshiping. They quit attending. But then their heart, oh, well, I can't do that because I may upset somebody. I don't know. But the trouble is the Bible warns us of these things. And when we see these things, we can't be surprised. We can't run and hide. We can't panic. We need to be the voice of reason and calm. This world's crazy right now. We all know that. We're not going to go into all the things going on. But you can just think, every one of you are running through your mind what you see and what you hear and what's going on that just makes no sense to you whatsoever. Why do we waste so much time worrying about it? We can't change it. I'm talking to myself because sometimes I get aggravated. I quit listening to the news. I quit listening to these things. I'll pull it up just to see the headline of the day and shut it off. Because if I start reading and looking at all the news, I get upset. It may let fear in my life. I had to turn it off. We may have to do that with Facebook, Twitter, whatever else is your device that really angers you and gets you upset or may draw you away from being constant in God's Word and having that faith and not fear. We may have to turn it off. We may have to shut it off. The distractions of this life will draw us away. We are to stand or abide in Christ so we can present ourselves before Christ. When that day comes, the Bible tells us, watch and pray. That means have our eyes wide open. Have our eyes wide open so we're not surprised and we're not caught off guards and we're not so rattled that it shakes our faith when we see these things. Oh, it's disturbing. We know that. But we got to be constant. We got to be consistent, and we got to control ourselves. we can't control the world, but we can control ourselves. We're not overindulging in the abundance or trying to fit in. There's the other thing. We try to fit in. Peter tried to fit in. He didn't want to rattle the sabers. He didn't want to upset folks. He tried to fit in. He thought he could pull it off, didn't he? Even Peter. You know, sometimes the problem we see in this world, people try to please men. They try to please men always. When Jesus came to Jerusalem, John records it like this in John 12:42. He says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogues, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Too comfortable? Think about who these folks were. I enjoy all these luxuries and these benefits of where I stand right now. You want me to go against that? I believe in God, I believe in Christ, but you want me to go against it? I mean, I got the nice stuff, I got the nice robe, I eat the good foods, I dine with the best people. My social life will change. You want me to give that up? They couldn't do it because they feared being cast out of the synagogue, because if they accepted Christ as their Savior, they would not have those luxuries. They may lose some of the finer things in life, the blessings, the gifts, the abundance of this world. They didn't want to give that up. But they feared man more than God. Over what? Material things. Comforts, abundance, and overindulgence. They feared God, or feared man. That fear comes from the devil. That fear comes from the devil. God says he hasn't given us that fear. We have a godly fear. That's a reverence. That's a fear of awe and greatness that we respect. We show respect to God. Excuse me, we don't respect. We show respect. And we recognize him as the Almighty, the deity. But the fear of man, the fear of crawling in a shell, and the fear of the gospel was never put into man's head. The works of the devil is coming after us when that happens. The work of the devil is out there on the streets right now. Turn on the news, which I just told you I turned off, but the anger. The problem with this world is not the things they're protesting against, it's a lack of God. They don't even know it. They're so far removed from truth, they don't know what they're protesting about. They think it's one thing, but deep down, it's a lack of God in man's life that's caused these turmoils and factions in this life. And it has been through history. Wars. Lack of God. People turning against God's people that turned against God to begin with. These things are affecting us today, maybe more than ever, I don't know. But it's out there. It seems to be we got more ways of seeing it nowadays, I guess. We have more social media, more electronic ways of getting news like that, and it comes from all directions, and 90% of it's not even true. Anybody has a news point. Anybody has a stand, a platform when they have a phone in their hand. Peter teaching and his actions were proved to be false. We found that out. Okay, Galatians 1:8 says this. So, and it's funny because it's St. Peter. "But though we are an angel from heaven preaching the gospel unto you, then that which you have preached, let him be accursed." He says, "As I said before, so say now again, if any man preach any other gospel than that which you have received, let him be accursed." He goes on to say, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." We can't please all people all times. We can't compromise our faith. We got to stand for something. We can't deviate from that faith to please men. The warning's there. The examples are there. The real life examples are there. The teachings and commands are there. Flee from this. We're not here to persuade men, to please men, or be persuaded by men. We're here to be persuaded and moved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to stand firm in that. Peter was trying to please men. For whatever reason, at this point in Peter's life, he thought that was the better route. He was corrected. Our words reveal who we serve, and they can condemn us. Our actions too. But in this case, we're talking about preaching. Preaching, not to the pleasing of men, but to the pleasing of God, to the serving of God. We got to be stand true for what we say and do. Can't let fear drive our thoughts. Can't let fear drive our words. Fear can bring us to our knees, as we've read in the Bible already. Romans 12:2, very familiar verse we all know. There's nothing shocking here I brought to any of you here today, I know that. But Romans chapter 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It starts with our mind. We got to change our attitude. We got to strengthen our mind. If it's not a changing of our mind, it's a strengthening. And that comes from God's word. That comes from prayer. We already read that. Pray. Pray that you don't fall into these temptations. Pray for this. It strengthens us into study. It's a renewing of the mind. It isn't saying, well, today I'm going to think this, tomorrow I'm going to think. No, it's putting God's word in there. That's the renewing of your mind. You're filling it full of godliness. You're letting God's word direct your thoughts and minds. I'm not coming up with thoughts of my own. I'm not coming up with righteous ideas. God's got them. Apply them. Put them in there. That fear will flee. Then you can stand firm. Then you won't be like Peter at that moment when he was caught kind of unawares and the fear overcame him and he acted rashly and improperly. He was corrected for that before all. He was corrected and he made the correction. But it didn't have to be. We cannot be like the world. We shouldn't act, think, speak like the world. We shouldn't be persuaded by the world. Influenced, if you want to put that word in there, influenced. Our mind should be focused and unmovable on heavenly things. Unfortunately, there's not too many people in this world with heavenly things on their mind right now. It's anger, it's hatred, it's bitterness, it's lack of God. I don't want to hear all their excuses. It's lack of God. Because if they had God, all those things would work themselves out. We can get down into all these arguments and battles. We can worry and stress about it. And it doesn't matter. We have the answer. We have God. That's why it's important we keep focused and keep talking and speaking truth. Because these folks is exactly what they need. It's what the whole world needs. It's what I need. It's what you need. Renew your mind. Strengthen it. I'm not going to go much longer here, folks. I'm going to keep it short. But in conclusion, we're going to have a few verses. Fear will cause us to sink. You get scared, you crawl in a hole, don't you? It causes armies to retreat with the most firepower you've ever seen, and they'll get scared of the enemy. They take off running the other way, don't they? That's totally contrary to what a military is, isn't it? Think about that. We're in God's army. We're not to fear. We're not to shrink. We're not to run and hide. We're to go forward. We're to press on. Listen to what Matthew chapter 26, like I said, I'm not picking on Peter, but here we go again. It says, "And when the disciples saw him," we'll get to this. This is Jesus walking on the Sea of Galilee. And before Peter asked to come out to walk out to meet him, here's what he tells the disciples when they were in fear and they saw him and thought they saw a spirit. He says in Matthew 14:26, "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come out thee unto the water.'" There's Peter's rashness and boldness. "Oh, let me come right out there, Lord." Obviously, Peter believed, because in the next verse, it said, "And he said, 'Come,' and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, 'Lord, save me.'" There's so much to be made of that verse, and we're not going to go long on it, but Jesus says, "It is I, be not afraid." Only Christ could provide that kind of comfort and courage. You're walking on water. That's not possible. That's a miracle. It's not like childbirth when it was a one-time miracle. Now it's common demand to have a birth. It is walking on water. No man could do it but Christ Jesus. And he calls Peter out, "Come out and walk on this water." The math doesn't work. It's liquid. That's like walking on air. But he did it. Christ did it. Only Christ could provide comfort when he began to fear. He's in control of the elements. He's in control of the wind. He's in control of the seas. He had the power to say, "Walk on water," and it worked. But Peter doubted it. Somewhere along his steps, I don't know how many he got, how far out in the water he got, but somewhere along the lines, he... This ain't right. You know what happened to Peter? I can't tell you what he thought, But it tells us a little bit about it. He started looking at the world around him. Boy, this wind is blowing, the waves are, the sea, this ain't natural, this can't happen. Lost trust in Christ Jesus straight ahead. Because Christ can make it happen. And he did. What do we do today? We walk through this world, we're trying to live a Christian life, we look around and go, oh man, look at this happen. Oh man, oh, that's bad. Oh, these people, oh, well, they got a point. And we start getting all bogged down with the things around us. Peter asked to come out. Jesus called him. When Peter feared and he saw the storm around him, or we might put it in there, if we want to put us in there, we feared and saw the world around us. But Peter saw the storm and he feared and he began to sink. The Lord, once he's called upon, reached down and saved him. You know, the Lord didn't just save him. He said, Lord, save me. Peter had to ask for it. He came, he begged for Christ. He called for Christ. He didn't, Lord just doesn't save us out of our own mistakes. You got to work for it. You got to ask for it. The Lord reached down and saved him. He was standing firm on the water until he lost his faith. That's what it was. Fear. He lost his faith for that brief moment. Our Father is telling us we got to stand for truth or we'll fall for anything. The scriptures are full of that kind of talk right there. You've got to stand or you will fall. You got to stand or you'll sink. Stand by faith or you'll sink. Peter wasn't standing by faith. He stood by fear and it wouldn't work. We'll all have to stand before the Son of Man in judgment. It's just a matter if we're standing in faith. Can we present ourselves, as that word stand means, before the Lord? Can we have an answer of a good conscience and stand before the Lord? When the storms of life are raging, the boisterous winds blow, and the seas get rough, will we sink or stand firm in the Lord without fear? That's the question today we got to ask ourselves. But let me tell you this, the worst kind of fear is to meet our Maker never having obeyed him. You can't stand with him today. You can stand with him today, excuse me. We can stand with him today by being baptized and added to the church and being called one of his own. And your obedience to the gospel call can make that happen. The Bible says we must hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. We must believe what we've heard, Hebrews 11:6. We must repent of our past sins, Luke 13:3. We must confess Christ before men, Matthew 10:32-33. And he'll confess us before his Father in heaven. The confession's made with the mouth, the Bible tells us. And lastly, we don't add you in, we don't vote you in, we don't confirm you in, we don't have the power. You have the power through your obedience to call on this and follow this plan that has been laid out in the scriptures. And 1 Peter 3:21 says, the like figure now to which baptism now does also save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but it says it's an answer of a good conscience towards God. Your baptism and going down that water grave of baptism adds you to the church, adds you to the faith, and you're now called one of his own. If you haven't obeyed the gospel call and you need to get back into, you need to get into Christ and stand with Christ, today's the day you can do it. You can come forward, or stand and sing the invitation song, or if that's uncomfortable for you, get with one of us after church, and immediately we can aid you and help you in that, in your request. While we stand and sing the song of invitation.